Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you ever caught off guard by something you see or smell or hear? Something that stops you in your tracks, that captures your attention so fully that you have to stop and honor it? Maybe it's a smell from your childhood that brings up a strong memory. Cookies baking, or the smell of your grandparents' garage, or that cinnamon gum that your favorite aunt always chewed. Maybe the song of a bird causes you to pause, close your eyes, and listen. Or maybe it's a patch of flowers, the yellow of black-eyed Susans, or the blue of chicory, catching your eye while you're outside, and you have to stop and look and admire their beauty. There's a freedom in this kind of noticing. These moments take us out of ourselves. They allow us to engage with something larger than ourselves, the world around us, plants and animals, memories from the past, other people, and God. Moses engages in this kind of noticing this morning in our passage from Exodus. Let's listen again to the verses that describe the beginning of Moses' encounter with God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." God does not speak to Moses until Moses has stopped, turned aside, and looked. What would have happened if Moses had been too caught up in his own thoughts and had not noticed the marvelous sight of this bush burning without being consumed? Or what would have happened if Moses noticed the bush, said, "Eh, whatever," and kept walking? God might not have spoken to Moses in this moment. God waits until Moses has been taken out of himself and his own thoughts and is attentive to the sight of the bush, until Moses is noticing something other than himself, until Moses is free from distraction, and then God speaks. The philosopher, activist, and mystic Simone Weil wrote that absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Maybe Moses' moment of absolutely unmixed attention tells us something about our own prayer lives and about the moments when we are most likely to connect with God. And how fitting that the message that God delivers to Moses in this prayerful, self-forgetting, free moment is one of liberation. And liberation not just for Moses, but for all of God's people. Because the divine message delivered to Moses from the bush is that God notices too. God sees the misery of the people, has heard their cries. God knows their suffering. And what this tells us is that just as God saw, heard, and knew the Israelites in their suffering at the hands of the Egyptians, God has seen, heard, and known the suffering of all oppressed people throughout history. And God sees, hears, and knows knows the suffering of all oppressed people today. God always wants us to be free. God is always working to liberate us from the things that oppress us. And Moses' story tells us that before we can hear and receive God's message of liberation, we must stop and notice our burning bushes. We have to stop and notice the ways God may be trying to speak to us today. We must pay attention to the sources and signs of oppression and suffering in our own world. Signs of systemic racism, like inequalities in housing, education, and healthcare that Black people and other people of color face in our country. Like the shooting of yet another unarmed Black man by a law enforcement officer. Signs of climate change, like record high temperatures in the Arctic, local drought, warming oceans that produce and sustain stronger hurricanes, and of course, how can we engage with the story of a burning bush that is not consumed without naming the record number of wildfires currently raging in California, a burning that does consume? Let's be clear. I'm not talking about doomsday signs and symbols. I don't believe God sends hurricanes or fires or viruses to punish us. We must remember that God is not the oppressor. God is the liberator. Systemic racism and the accelerated effects of climate change are not God's doing. They are ours, the results of our personal and communal sins as human beings. God is the liberator. God is always working to free us from sin, from oppression, from death. This is the story of Exodus, and it is the story of the gospel, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In our Exodus story this morning, the Egyptians happen to be the human oppressors. Who or what might God name as the human oppressive forces in our world today? Unjust systems of racism, white supremacy, and patriarchy. Unchecked greed for resources, power, and monetary wealth. Once we have noticed the signs, can we join God in naming our oppressive sins out loud? Can we repent and turn back to God and listen? Back to Moses. When Moses stops, notices, and listens, God tells him that he is part of the plan to liberate the Israelites. God is the great liberator, yes. And human sin causes oppression, yes. And at the same time, God does the work of liberation through humans, through us. This is the work of the gospel. We are called to this work as Christians. This work of noticing signs of oppression, of naming our sins and repenting, and of joining in God's work of liberation. This work is hard. When God tells Moses that he's part of the plan to liberate the Israelites, Moses' response is, "Me? Who am I to do this?" And so it is natural that we would feel this way too. But we needn't feel overwhelmed. Because remember, the first step is to notice and pay attention, so that we might hear what God is saying to us. What God asked of Moses is not going to be the same as what God asks of us. What God asks of me is not going to be the same as what God asks of Alan or Charlene or Billy or of you. Jesus reflects this in our gospel reading when he says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus doesn't invite us to take up his cross, or Moses' cross, or someone else's cross. He invites us to take up our own cross and to follow him on a path of liberation in this life, through our death, and into the resurrection. Again, this is hard and risky work. Jesus was killed for this work, and many others who have answered God's call of liberation throughout history have been killed for this work. Moses in our passage from Exodus and the disciples in our passage from Matthew do not want to hear this call, and maybe neither do we. But the Exodus and the resurrection will not let us off the hook. They call us again and again into God's work of liberation, the work of love that cannot be defeated by any earthly force. In order to free our hands and take up our cross, we might have to put down or give up something else. What are we holding on to? What are we clinging to as a society and as individuals that we could give up and share for the liberation and flourishing of other human beings? Is it power? Is it our time, property, wealth, resources? Is it possible that the act of giving things up would liberate us from their perceived hold on us? Maybe it's this kind of life-giving freedom Jesus speaks of when he says, "Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." God is always working for our freedom and calls us into this liberating work. We cannot do all of it, but God does not expect us to. Each of us has our own burning bush to notice, our own cross to take up, our own God-given gifts for this work. There is freedom and liberation in this self-denying and selfless noticing and repenting, this loving and unmixed attention to God and God's call. We pray to Jesus to show us the way. Amen.